Fix with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, class of three right now, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number three of the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning.
Did you see my three under your hat,
Paul? Broadcasting on a Cowbell Friday. Bang that cowbell.
How about five of these across your chin? How about that?
How about this, Polly? You go ahead and pull that cap. Whoa. Oh, I see you took the glasses off.
Oh, no.
That's interesting right there, Polly.
Well, it's funny because I went to Connie in HR and I've already filed workplace harassment. So just to let you guys know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Polly looks like he's wearing a visor, but you can't see the cap, if you know what I mean. Everybody's
working. So, Cliff Kingsbury wears glasses, and he's Ryan Gosling.
Oh, put on the Jordache jeans, Paulie, and take out that comb and brush back that ball cap.
I wear glasses, and Doug drops a Michael Dukakis reference around here. Them's fighting words, I'll tell you right now.
Paulie, you did, though. You look like, you know what, honestly, all you needed was the call sheet in front of you. You want a
piece of my heart? This stinking song was popular.
You just needed the call sheet, Paulie.
Before Dukakis.
This song was popular and cool for like 1 week in 1980. Man, and you can always play it every week. And I'm the one getting ripped?
Really, Polly, honestly, break out the call sheet if you got it, Basin Onions. Put on the glasses and the Cal Bears hat.
Just
put it on.
Just get away.
By the way, wearing headphones, and you look like you're a coach on the sideline.
Just get off the laminated play sheet thing.
From the 50s,
it is funny you bring that up, Wolf, because the only place I've ever been called coach was Cal. It's true.
Just stop it.
It's true.
Stop
I couldn't find my credential, sideline. But I had my headphones on to be a sideline reporter, and I go walking through this area, and some guy says, no, coach, you want to go through here? And I said, oh, okay, thanks. And then I went through a different tunnel to get to the field.
I noticed you didn't correct him.
No, I didn't. I just said, okay, thanks. Like, hey, I still needed to go where he was leading me.
Oh, so
I was like,
all right. Coach? Yes.
What an easier way to get there. Thank you, sir. Todd Graham has never asked my opinion, but I appreciate it.
One time I was called a coach standing with Clancy Pendergast before a game in Houston.
Really?
And one of the members of the Houston Texans ownership group said, hey, coach, and he was pointing to me and Clancy Pendergast. I took that. I didn't correct him
That's
either.
Awesome.
Doug.
That's awesome.
You got to own that.
Yeah, I thank you for that.
That's right.
There's an article on NFL.com, and it's funny only because it's like, really? Are you sure? Granted, it is 100% summer ranking season, where the NFL.com folks get together and says, let's rank this.
Not the list.
And they list and they rank stuff out of nowhere. But here's why it's funny, is where the NFC West ranks. It is rank each division, 1 through 8,
all right,
based on the starting quarterbacks.
Nice. Mm.
Okay? So not the teams as a general, just who are your starting quarterbacks.
Okay, AFC West is probably number one, I'm guessing.
Very good, it is.
Mm. Well, you got Patrick Mahomes.
NFC West is number
Mahomes.
Two.
What?
Is number two.
Really?
What? Say that again.
They said the NFC West is number two.
Okay, let's see. Well, all right. Jared Goff, of course. Russell Wilson, of course. There's why they're number two. Those two guys right there. Jimmy G comes in with a sterling reputation, but I don't know if he's actually proven it yet.
By the way, Jimmy G, I think just this week, threw a football during an actual organized team activity for the first time coming off the injury. I didn't realize he was that far behind. What exactly? I mean, is he absolutely tracking for week one if he's just now throwing a ball?
That's amazing, too.
Supposedly, they're going painfully slow, that he hasn't done enough to be able to say, I should be pushed, so it is on him and his rehab. But at the same time, the 49ers are supposedly very kid gloves to get him through the offseason.
What's amazing, Paulie, I actually heard, too, that he was thrown to Nick Bosa, and Bosa jammed his finger trying to catch it.
Okay. Here we go. Low-hanging fruit. Wolf is here all week. Actually, giving himself a holiday weekend.
No, since you brought it up, Jimmy Ward, their safety, did dive for a ball at OTAs, broke his collarbone.
I
love Jimmy Ward.
It's
too
crazy. The 49ers, like, what are you guys doing?
Wow.
Somebody drink some milk around there or something. It's crazy how bad this team is with injuries.
And you know what? The Browns, The Browns are going to be...
I'm not laughing at Jimmy Ward, for the record. I'm not laughing at that. They've already taken 3 x-rays of Bosa, supposedly.
Oh, no. It's a hamstring. It's grade 1. It's the lowest grade there is. Yet he says he's still out for weeks, and they hope he's ready for training
camp. Supposedly, John Lynch walked into the doctor's office when they were looking at the x-ray of Jimmy Ward and said, "Is that Bosa's?"
Oh, he did not.
Think about it. The Niners, the high watermark for the Niners is going to be the end of the 2017 season where they won 5 in a row after they lost their first 12 games or whatever the heck it was, last first 11 games. And then
they're still excited about it.
And then all of a sudden they get 5 primetime games a year ago and completely flame out.
You are laughing at both.
No, he is a stud. But oh my goodness.
Oh no. I do look at it. I don't laugh like Wolf, but today for most camps,
I mean,
today marks 2 months away from training camp. So training camp, not OTAs, not mini camp. Training camp starts in about 8 to 9 weeks. And yet the 49ers actually said a grade 1 hamstring pull, which is the lowest there is, the easiest to come back from. And they still say he should be ready for training. How is there a should? Yeah. It's a hammy. It does not take 8 weeks to fix a hamstring.
And when he does come back in camp, Bosa will be wearing the yellow no-contact jersey. He'll be the only non-quarterback still wearing the yellow no-contact jersey.
I think he'll wear that in preseason
games. Oh my goodness, that is just so funny, honestly, right now. Okay, what else were we talking about? Did you guys already talk about other things?
Yeah, we did. We're basically done.
Bosa.
Since we have 20 seconds.
I love Nick Bosa, for the record. I really do.
And
I did wonder if he was a glass.
And since Paul is wearing the Cal hat, let's talk about Cal. Here's Mike Florio out of nowhere. We're like a shot in the dark on Pro Football Talk about one NFC West quarterback.
I think there's a chance that Sean McVay at some point is going to find his own guy. Remember, he inherited Jared Goff, and there may be somebody out there that McVay is eyeing at some point.
Wait, it's time to move on from Jared Goff already?
What? Is that what he said? That
Florio is saying that he thinks at some point soon Sean McVay might be looking to replace Jared Goff for his own guy.
Okay, you know what? Attention, Mike Florio. You need to learn from Doug and Wolf.
Oh, here we go.
And Pash. Right. Because these three guys were all in on the disaster that was Jared Goff after his rookie year when he was saddled with the worst O-line in the league and the worst head coach in Jeff Fisher. How'd that work out for Doug, Wolf, and Pash? Because they just kept selling short on Jared Goff, and he kept getting better until he was darn near the stinking league MVP.
Well, yeah, it's because Sean McVay was telling him where to throw the ball.
I admit. I read into the fact that I don't understand how you're raised on the West Coast and you don't realize, wow, every time it gets to be night, the sun goes down over the ocean.
And every time
you had literally Sean McVay. All right, Jared, there it is. You got cover two. Cover two coming up. You know where to go. Hit the corner.
Cover two, and the sun's going down in the west this week.
And every time that Doug, Wolf, and Pash doubled down on how bad Jared Goff was going to be, he got better, and they looked worse. So tread lightly, Mike Florio, and any other haters on Jared Goff, because you know what? So far, it's blown up in your face.
All right, Jared, look to your right now. To your right. No, you're right, Jared. Look to your right.
The other right.
Jared, they're rolling. Here comes corner blitz.
And you know what, Wolf? You better tread lightly right now, too, because there's no guarantee that Cliff Kingsbury won't do the same thing with his quarterback.
First of all, Paul, he is going to do it. I mean, he said he was going to do it.
Up until 15 seconds are left in the play clock, don't be shocked at Cliff Kingsbury saying, okay, they're in cover two. Here's your first read, and here's your second read.
Yeah, that's right, Paul. You know what? Honestly, we're also going to see him break the huddle and sprint to the line of scrimmage.
Luckily, Kyler doesn't care where the sun goes up and down because they don't have a sun in Oklahoma.
So if you can't find Cliff Kingsbury on the sideline, that's because he's trailing the line of scrimmage by 20 or 30 yards and reading the defense for his rookie quarterback, just like Sean McVay did as Jared Goff took the league by storm.
Jared, what are you doing? They got 11 on the line. Jared, here it comes. Wolf. 0-0-0
When Wolf takes that picture of you in your cow hat, we'll send it to Mike Florio for you.
Pictures whatsoever. There is going to be a post-show meeting with HR where you guys get called in to talk to Connie.
Coming up next, the Diamondbacks have turned to Reno, which is a little bit west of here and mostly north, Jared.
Free Tomas?
For a much-needed boost for their offense.
Tomas!
Yes. Yeah, not Tomas. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Tomas!
The Threads.
Let's go. No more of this crap losing in a crappy division. Diamondbacks Giants tonight, 7:15 here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You got the guy that you won on the mound in Drew Pomeranz, who has been getting lit up by everybody except the D-backs. I don't know if you call it lit up. He gave up two runs to the D-backs, but he only, which sounds good. That's it.
Yeah.
But he only pitched like 4 2/3, something like that.
Yeah.
Didn't even get to 5 innings. And he's been getting crushed everywhere else. And the Diamondbacks did something that was really an interesting move, and that is they called up Kevin Crone. And the reason why I consider it an interesting move is he is a first baseman, plays a little third, and is probably coming up just to shore up the bench because they have zero real weapons on the bench. But the philosophy is you never call up somebody to be a pinch hitter. Because if you want a young guy, they need regular at-bats.
Yeah.
And if you're going to call somebody up, you're going to call them up normally to replace an injured veteran or a veteran that's not producing. Because you want young guys, unless you think their confidence is shot, to stay out there and stay
that's
on the field
point, Doug,
and
nice.
Work their way through it. And yet, what did the Diamondbacks do? They could have called up Tomas. When you have an injury to Peralta and you have a spot in the outfield, think about Tomas right now. You already lost Souza.
Yes.
It's easy for us to forget, but you lost Souza.
Right.
Now Peralta's in and out of the lineup, and they still say, Tomas, you're not the guy.
Yeah.
Yet with all the veterans struggling, how does Christian Walker not say, what's going on here? We're all struggling. Why are you looking at me? Because they call up a first baseman.
See, that is a great point right there, because Kevin Crone is going to play first and third, right? And he's going to pinch hit, of course. But something tells me this is going to be a battle for at-bats at first base, Ron Wolfley reporting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just cannot get around that, can you, my brothers? Obviously, Christian Walker has definitely struggled. And it's so interesting to me. It's fascinating to me because Christian Walker was the face of the Diamondbacks' surprise start. To me, he was. He was the face of it. You had a 20-13 record after 33 games. Nobody, I honestly, nobody, even the most optimistic analyst that was out there, had the Diamondbacks 7 games above 500 coming out of April.
Mm-hmm.
33 games. That, to me, was surprise. And then you had a much better offense than anyone saw coming through the first 33 games. Top 10 in batting average, top 10 in runs. I would say that's kind of important right there. Those are big metrics right there, runs. And then, of course, top 10 in home runs as well through the first 33 games. You had a much better offense than anyone saw coming. And then you had a first baseman not named Paul Goldschmidt that was producing.
Yep.
And that first baseman was Christian Walker.
So
he became the face of the Diamondbacks start to me.
And one of the most important things for a manager is credibility in the clubhouse. It's huge. And it's a really interesting dynamic right now because Christian Walker, small slump, not bad. And then the manager comes in and tells him, just relax.
It was awesome.
And and I thought the quote was, you don't have to go 5-3. You said five for four. And you can understand the inverted math there. It's basically quit. Another way to phrase it is quit trying to hit a leadoff grand slam.
Yeah.
Okay. Just go up there and take some pitches, work the pitcher and get a base hit and relax. You're not going to be sent down. You're our first baseman. So after that speech, Christian went off. Christian was fantastic. He was already good
before.
Another
run, yep.
Then, now that he's fallen completely on his face, now you call up Crone. Now, in the world of, hey, suck it up. You got to do your job. You're not doing your job. It's a competition. This is all fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, how does he look at the manager? The manager said you're not going to be sent down. Now, he's not being sent down, but is he going to the bench? Is he losing at bats? Does the GM or does the manager go to him and say, I support this move, or does he say the GM made me do it? Does he throw his GM under the bus? Who knows? And I'm not saying there's division in the front office, but I am saying this has to be handled carefully with Christian Walker on the call-up of Kevin Crone.
It just, honestly, Christian Walker, woke Walker, based on his sleep now, but woke. Christian Walker was the one guy, too, that I could have looked at and was so happy. What an incredible story it was. 28 years old, you're in the organization that is Paul Goldschmidt at first base, and that's where you play. And even though he posted really strong AAA and minor league level numbers, right? Here you got a guy that was 28 years old and never really got a shot to make it in the
bigs. So imagine how he feels. I was in the minor leagues putting up Kevin Crow numbers. I didn't get called up. Now he puts up my numbers and he's here. We asked Tim Kirkjian the question of, wait a minute, look at the Diamondbacks. Are they dramatically changing philosophy? Did they hit the panic button, basically? Because last year in May, they refused to do anything. This year in May, this is a pretty significant shift. And he said, wait a minute, it's still about Goldie.
I think the big difference is they had Paul Goldschmidt on the team last year, and they figured, well, he's going to get hot, which of course he did, and carried them for quite some time. But they don't have him anymore. So now they look around and say, can Christian Walker do what Paul Goldschmidt did when he got hot last year? The answer has to be no to that, given who Paul Goldschmidt is. So given the way they changed the club in the offseason, it doesn't surprise me that May comes around this year, they're not hitting again, and they have to go try something. And this is how it works in the big leagues. You win when you hit the ball out of the ballpark. And
I like where he went there, because the point is basically the decision to do nothing in May they thought was right with last year's team. And the decision, it's not a philosophical change in their mind of we never do this. It's this is what the 2019 team needs. But it shows you they're not going to be patient.
No, they're not going to be patient. There's no way they're going to be patient. You could hear that Mike Hazen's voice. When we had Mike Hazen on Wednesday, you could hear it in his voice, Douglas. He was the frustration when you brought up May. You were talking about May, right? And I can't stand May. And I thought he was going to joke around with you a little bit right there and go, yeah, isn't that ironic? Isn't that it's so interesting, right? A pure coincidence, of course. Not irony, coincidence. And suddenly, no, he didn't go there. He literally was like, no, you know what? I'm sick and tired of watching this in May.
Just rest assured that we're reacting, I think, appropriately given the circumstances, but share a lot of the frustration that I think you guys would express as well as the fans.
I love that. We're reacting. I mean, last year the exact phrase would have been, and granted I'm putting words into Mike Hazen's mouth and that's unfair, would have been, we're not going to overreact. And now it's, we're reacting. I think he's telling the players, you haven't earned jack. No matter who you are, you haven't earned it. Now, the interesting thing to me, does Crone go to sometimes third base, Escobar to second, so you keep Marte in center and keep Walker there? But clearly, from what I've been told, Crone, a good defensive first baseman, a below average defensive third baseman.
Yeah, I don't want to see him come off of Christian Walker yet. I don't want to see
it. I'm with you.
Hang in there.
Burnsy. Gambo, they got a roadshow today. They're going to be at Chandler Harley as they kick off the Memorial Weekend Freedom event for your chance to get exclusive deals courtesy of Chandler Harley Davidson. Plus, we'll be giving you the chance to win D-backs Phoenix Rising tickets while on site. Just visit the events page at arizonasports.com for your opportunity to get complete details. And just so you know, Diamondbacks Giants tonight, 7:15, and all three games of the Diamondbacks Giants series will be right here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Tomorrow's a day game. It is not a Saturday night game. It's a day game. Coming up next, how can Phoenix become a destination again for NBA free agents? Monty Williams has a plan.
Monty, Monty, Monty.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Are you talking to me? Monty Williams. Yeah, buddy. Respect. Talking. Respect. All of us just wanting to listen to you when you speak. We need more Monty Williams. Yeah.
Your Pantera call-out is brought to you by AutoNation. With 13 dealerships in the Valley and over 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles on AutoNation.com, find what you're looking for today. I don't know why we went cheap, but a long time ago, it used to be you would tweet us because Wolf didn't know when the Pantera call-out was coming. He still doesn't know.
Still don't.
And then we would all take a guess on what we thought the Pantera call-out was going to be. And if you get it right, you'd win a t-shirt, you'd win tickets to something. And we would always give something away. I blew it. I admit it. I would have bet the farm you were going to call out Paul Calvisi's cowl hat
with
today.
With his cowl hat.
Just the hat.
Put the glasses out, Paul. You get the headset on, the cowl hat. You look like a coach from 1957.
Wolf was cracking himself up earlier with his Nick Bosa jokes. I thought it was going to be a Nick Bosa, you know, injury joke. Obviously, Wolf's got an early start to his three martini Friday night already.
I don't know what's going on, giggling to himself over there.
Why is it not true? You have to four?
It's one.
I see. What? I want to jump in before Wolf does go down the Bosa train. This is, Paul, I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase before. I admit I didn't hear it until about 10 years ago when you would hear Larry Fitzgerald say this a lot. I love the phrase champagne problems. I think it's a cool phrase.
I'm going to attribute it to Larry. That's the first time I heard it.
Yeah, okay. And I think if you haven't heard the phrase before, it simply means only the problems of people like Wolf that drink champagne
on a regular basis.
You know,
high maintenance.
What do you mean? Read a book.
So if you
haven't heard champagne problems before.
Like, for an example, if you have a guest home, you could run into some champagne problems, things like that.
Right.
Well, this is
headaches.
You're the one hanging out at the club having champagne.
Wolf's next book is going to be Headaches with My Casita.
My goodness. You are honestly, Paul.
Let's go, Doug. Run it.
Fire.
Let's go.
Monty Williams said something on the Adrian Wojnarowski podcast that, on the one hand, I can understand those of us that are blue collar look at it as a champagne problem.
Yes.
Okay, it's a champagne problem.
Where have you been, Paul?
You telling me that where your practice facility matters. Go do your job. You get paid millions of dollars. Go win.
No.
But the players for the Phoenix Suns, again, you'll think it's a champagne problem, but imagine the world they live in and the fact that they've been on other teams who don't have these problems. They got to drive downtown every time for practice. The circus is in town, or the ice capades are going on, and they got all this crap going on in the arena, which is the norm for almost every arena. The job of the Suns is to pack that arena as much as possible.
Have you ever seen an elephant pile?
Yet it's always stuff is in the way when you're trying to get your job done, and a practice facility is normally built in the wealthier side of town where the players are. It's an easier commute to work, and you get guys that hang out there more often. You don't have a front office that's on the fourth floor while the players are on floor zero. You get more of a connection and more of a team.
They're all playing Fortnite.
And guess what? Monty Williams, one of the first things he wanted to bring up when it came to getting free agents.
The practice site that's going up in the Camelback, Scottsdale area is going to be second to none. And I've seen the effect that a practice site can have on your organization. In New Orleans, I worked in OKC, and in Philly. Like, those practice sites are like Taj Mahals. And Mr. Sarver has done an unreal job of planning and putting this thing together. I think guys are going to be attracted to that.
To us, it might not matter.
Recruit.
But to the players, this matters.
Recruiting happens at this level.
Yes.
It's akin to college football. And the facilities that teams put up, correct?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Right? It's why ASU put in $50 million plus or whatever it was to have their new football center. Why U of A is currently doing the same. Why Alabama has mahogany wood paneled lockers and everything else at the kids' disposal. Because at some point, you recruit, and how do you separate yourself from the competition? You can only go so far with the dollars. Well, then it comes to facilities.
That's exactly right.
I get it. All right. Here's the thing. And yeah, that's a step in the right direction. And yeah, everything Monty Williams has said so far drips with wisdom. But the Suns had another head coach by the name of Earl Watson, who was great behind the mic as well.
No doubt.
And that didn't fare so well. So far, so good. But let's just pump the brakes a little bit on Monty Williams, the motivational speaker, because that didn't go very far in the Earl Watson era.
No, that was great stuff, Paulie. There's no doubt about it. Earl Watson, I absolutely loved his philosophy. I love the fact that he cared about that, right? But he did not have the cred that I think Monty Williams has. And the reason why I say that is because Monty Williams has been a coach who's taken a team that was a lottery team twice, took him to the playoffs, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Once with older guys, once with younger guys as well. Now, listen, he doesn't have a winning record overall. I understand that because when it got bad, it got bad. There's no doubt about it. But this guy has actually coached before. He's got a record to go off. He's taken a team to the playoffs twice, and there were two different teams. I love that.
And he witnessed a team go through the pain that Philadelphia did with the famous process. They got the process, we got the timeline. So he was a part of that, saw it, and now he's coming here as the piece to make the transition from no more timeline. If the timeline is now, you know, what are you going to do now?
He's not learning on the job. Like almost every other recent Suns head coach. The combination of new players, new to the league, young players, youngest roster in the league, and a first-year head coach, first-time head coach, that has been lethal, that combination. So at least, you guys are right, when he speaks, he does so from experience, from a track record, and everything he encounters isn't new. He can actually rely on the fact that, yes, I've been here and done that, and mean it, and the players know it, because as we all know, and Wolf, you know, players know right away whether the coach is legit or not.
And
the Cardinals ran into some of that last year. There were guys in certain positions on that Cardinals staff players stopped buying into.
I love this because Monty Williams has played. He's been an assistant coach. He's been a head coach. And he's been in a front office. So he really gets to how to build bridges between everybody. And this is why he says the program. He actually uses the college term. Will be attractive.
Our program and how we do things here, I think, is going to be attractive to free agents and the guys we have here. I think they're going to want to stay and be a part of this. And so I'm really excited about that. And that's why having a chance to be a head coach again is a privilege, but also the opportunity in front of me is going to be really cool going forward.
There are three things that a free agent really cares about. Number one, what are you going to pay me? That's
money.
Number one, right? Number two is this organization buttoned up? That's number two. Only time's going to tell on number two with the Phoenix Suns.
I think number two is, do I get the ball on number three?
No, okay, yeah, right. Is this organization buttoned up here? And then number three would be, you know what? Do I see a future here? Is this on the upward trend or the downward trend?
Are you sure one, two, and three isn't one? What are you going to pay me? Are you sure one, two, and three isn't the salary?
It could be, Paul. It could be. Yeah. Maybe it's 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
Bottom line, the best point made all morning was by Dave Pasch, and that all of this means nothing unless the owner lets everyone do their job.
Very true. Very true. But for the first time in my time here, I do think it'll happen. I do think it'll happen.
The circumstantial evidence is here.
Man, I'm struggling with that, though, because
it took me 4 years to come around to this opinion.
I know the word sucker is just stamped on my forehead as soon as I hear the first time that Ayton is learning to box out from Robert Sarver. I'm just going to lose my mind. The Phoenix Convention Center will once again host more than 75 of the Southwest's best craft brewers with over 350 craft beers, and we're giving you the chance to win tickets. Just visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter, and for complete details on the real Wild and Woody Indoor Beer Festival on July 27th. I mean, you're an idiot if you come up to me and say, let me teach you how to enjoy beer. I don't need your help. I am the expert.
It's a Beer Friday, Doug.
Let the expert do his job.
And remember, just Friday. I don't care if it's holiday weekend. Beer Friday, singular, one day.
Holiday weekend, that nodule is going to be raging.
That's true. We can go all the way Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Rest on Monday. Monday is a day of rest. Coming up next, could Kyler Murray's success be impacted by the Cardinals' defense? That and maybe Aaron Rodgers beer chugging against me is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cardinals off today. OTAs get underway again Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. You have a third week of OTAs. Cool acronym for Organized Team Activities, which basically means voluntary practice. And then the mandatory mini camp is after that.
Okay.
So two more weeks of OTAs, mandatory mini camp. You have to be there or you get fined. Different teams rule it differently, meaning there was a couple years where Marshawn Lynch was there, but he sat in a hoodie and didn't get up.
Marshawn.
And so other people have different rules of whether or not you have to actually participate or not, but you are supposed to be there. And then you're off until training camp. We are only about, I'm ballparking it, about 60 days away from training camp.
That's
getting underway.
Right there, really is, right? They're already taking bets. The over and under is to how many practices Nick Bosa gets in. I love Nick Bosa, too, ladies and gentlemen. I honestly,
Grade one hamstring injury, a minor hamstring strain.
Okay, that's fine. A minor hamstring strain, and he's going to miss weeks.
Grade one hamstring injury, a minor hamstring strain, but the Niners are going to keep him down for a couple of weeks. They have mini camp June 11th to the 13th, so it's a strong possibility that we won't see Bosa back on the field until training camp.
I'm not laughing at somebody's injury situation based on
it. What are you laughing?
It's never cool to do that, okay? But honestly, just thinking of Nick Bosa and the fact he's already pulled a hand to a point where he's going to miss weeks, not days, weeks, is interesting.
Well, it won't be to the level of Josh Rosen. There were 9 mistakes. Okay, just 3. And you have him tied to Baker Mayfield for the rest of his life because of that quote. There's no quotes between Kyler Murray and Bosa. But you'll always look at Bosa, Quinn and Williams, and some of the top guys in the draft when the Cardinals stick their neck out this far.
Yeah.
And say, we're going to change everything about the game of football and draft a 5'10 quarterback, the number one overall. Then if one of these guys go off, you're always going to wonder, well, you could have had him. And some interesting things were said recently by Donovan McNabb on the Rich Eisen show that tried to explain that you need a defense that matches Kyler Murray.
I'm just talking about Kyler Murray, Donovan,
but it all works together because right now we're focusing just on the quarterback.
Yeah.
But it's a total team effort, especially for a young guy.
And he doesn't mean that in the simplicity of, okay, we know it's a total team effort. You guys got to block. You have to have people that catch. David Johnson has to play well, blah, blah, blah. But he was actually going further into suggesting you need a defense that actually plays off of Kyler Murray as well.
Yeah, you know, I just don't believe that. Now, listen, we had Chris Spielman on earlier, Basinonians. I love Chris Spielman. I go all the way back to playing in Pro Bowls with Chris Spielman, right? I just absolutely respect him greatly, but disagree with him. The same thing could be said about Donovan McNabb on this right here. Love Donovan McNabb, but disagree with him on this. It all goes together. No, it doesn't have to all go together. In fact, I would argue that NFL defenses generally operate independently from offenses. The Patriots will be whatever they need to be in order to beat you. They're not feeding off each other, Basinonians. They're feeding off their opponent, period. There are exceptions. There's no doubt about it. Listen, there are teams that are built to play off their teammates in all three phases of the game of football. There's no denying that. And I think this truth proves how the majority of NFL teams do operate independently, offense to defense. And I'm going to use the Kansas City Chiefs as an example. The Kansas City Chiefs, they're so prolific on offense. They often play with leads, big leads. So their defense isn't about stopping the run. They're about rushing the passer and playing coverage. It's the reason why they targeted Frank Clark. Remember, Frank Clark went out and got Frank Clark. Brought him in for the edge. It's the reason why they brought the Badger into Kansas City, because he is a good cover guy in a zone room and man, if you want to play that. It's the reason why the rumors of Pat P to the Chiefs won't subside. This is how they're building their team, and it's all predicated on the Chiefs' offense. And it's also why they lost to the Patriots, by the way.
That's true.
Who got into 21 personnel and beat the Chiefs on the line of scrimmage. That's how they scored with them. They beat them to a pulp.
It's almost to the point of, if you have a Kyler Murray and you want to follow this path, what Donovan McNabb's saying, I'm not saying you do it, but I enjoy, just by a cross of fate, I used to be a play-by-play guy for an arena football team.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened to, in one of the years that I was there, the head coach of the Rattlers, Kevin Guy, was also the head coach of the same team I was doing play-by-play for 20 years ago. So, really 15 years ago now that I think about it. So, him and I have been friends for years. And defensively, in the indoor game, it's about possessions, even defensively. It's if I give up a touchdown, so what? Because it's worth it to gamble for the turnover. To get the ball back, since it's a race to score points, I would rather do more to get the ball back and then try to hold you to a field goal if you get close. And I'm kind of thinking, That's what Donovan McNabb is referring to. The Broncos got into this, both with John Elway and Terrell Davis, and also when Peyton was still good. It was, you know what, let's be a blitz-happy defense because we know we're going to get a lead. With Peyton Manning at quarterback, we're going to get the lead, so we don't have to worry about stopping the run as much.
But that's exactly what they weren't. They weren't a blitz-happy defense. They were cover two shell. They were Tony Dungy. They didn't come after you. They were
The Broncos, not the Colts.
Okay, the Broncos. All right. Well, you mentioned Peyton Manning well, so I thought, okay, so listen, I think Kansas City, I think the Chiefs, think of the Chiefs. They prove how the majority of NFL teams do operate independently, offense to defense. Now, ask yourself this right here. How many offenses are like the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL? How many offenses are so prolific, so profound, so prodigious that you can build a team to play off your own team's offense? It's one of the coolest things I would have to say about the NFL is the fact that they have built that team based off of their offense, not your offense.
Think of the Rams-Chiefs Monday night game that became all the rage. And the Patriots went through the Chiefs. And the Rams weren't able to stop the Patriots either. So the Patriots go through the Chiefs and the Rams. The question becomes, can you win a Super Bowl 50-45?
Correct.
And I mean, build it on a regular basis. Of course, there's going to be some crazy Super Bowls, but can you consistently just outscore what your defense allows in the framework of that kind of battle, the high-scoring battle?
I don't know, Douglas. That is a question right now, and that's why it's so fascinating to watch the NFL, because the shift is on. You've heard me talking about it, Basinonians, over and over and over again, but it's the truth. You've got to make a determination. What are you going to do? Are you going to remain traditional, or are you going to go all in on this new era, new age offense? It's almost 50-50 right now, almost. It's still more traditional offenses, but that may change this year.
Yesterday, one of the best baseball insiders, writers in the game, Bob Nightingale, said,
I don't think they have to, but I think they want to.
The future of Zach Greinke, as it's seen through one of the great baseball historians, Tim Kirkjian, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.